It is the first day of winter. It is June the 1st, and winter is that great time and you can eat all that hearty, some would say unhealthy food. You can eat it, but you don't have to feel guilty about it because it's winter. It's cold outside. You can have potato gratin every night just because it's winter. So what are those foods that we can be looking forward to this season and what's the best way to do them? Joining me on the line is a good friend of 2SER, food writer, editor of the Good Food Guide now in Brisbane, Mr. Callum Boyes. Good morning, Callum.
Good morning, Jamie Travers. How are you?
Oh, it's been too long. You're in Queensland now. Are you excited about the state of origin?
People are talking about this state of origin. I've heard it mentioned in the hallway and I'm not really sure what they're on about. It's tonight, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I can see you're really across the news of the day.
I was quite happy that if kids could buy the Courier Mail yesterday and they got a free lift out to play at home called A Game of Toads.
Oh, yes. Well,
yeah.
Things are a bit
I might work from home today, actually. Yeah. I might go into the Brisbane Times office.
That seems like a pretty solid idea. Now, Callum, if you're going to stay at home today, it is the first day of winter. I mean, there's so many things you can be cooking kind of guilt-free. Now it's winter.
Yeah, completely. Stew, number one. This is the best thing about winter is cooking stews. Lord knows you don't want to eat stews in summertime, but just going down, that's exactly what I'm going to do today, is go down and buy some chuck steak.
Yep.
And buy probably about a kilo and a half, 2 kilos, depending on how hearty you're feeling, how many mouths you've got to feed, some good root vegetables, and just chuck them in a big bloody pot with some stock and let it sort itself out in the world for the next 4 hours at a low temperature, and you'll be sweet. And it's not that unhealthy. You said it's unhealthy, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, it's not unhealthy, but it just feels kind of decadent. Like it's so rich, you feel like you're doing something naughty.
Yeah, completely. It is. Well, it's delicious, and it's dodgy. But add some wine in there. Add plenty of greens at the end. I like to do that as well. Just a bit of shall we say kale.
They had that in Queensland.
They've just got it here.
Oh, okay, good.
Now, hang on,
quickly. You're talking about wine there. See, this is a point of contention with a lot of people because do you use like a cheap bottle of Plonk or do you go a nice bottle of Plonk? Do you drink half of it? How does it work out?
Yeah. Like, well, it's always fun to go into the bottle shop. Excuse me, mate. What's your cheapest red? Oh, I just need it for cooking. Whatever, mate, like straight to the Gossips and Bowlers run. my rule of thumb, and I think this is a good formula, for something like a stew or ragu, you'll probably use half a bottle of wine, and then you want to drink the other half. So it won't be too bad. So just spend half as what you usually would.
Right, okay.
I think it's good. Up until a point. So if you're used to spending $15 on a bottle, buy a $7.50 bottle. If you're used to spending $30 on a bottle, $15 bottle's fine. I think if you're spending more than $15, though, on a bottle and you're going to use half of it for cooking, that's when it becomes probably a bit of a waste. So don't go lashing out on a $30 bottle of Plonk if you're used to drinking $60 Barossa Belters.
Yeah, like if you are like Barry O'Farrell and you love a bit of Grange on the side, like don't chuck that in the Bolognese when winter comes around.
You know, one of the best things I ever did was go down to Vic's Meats at the fish markets and I purchased a $125 glass of Grange. And I ate it with a cheeseburger and bloody hell.
That's life. That is absolute life for you.
And poured a bit of Coke in it at the end just because some wine whackers around me. I just want to see that. Anyway.
Did they spontaneously combust?
They lost their nut. It was fantastic.
Now, you're saying you've got to finish off with some greens on the top, so you're talking like a gremolata, like a mix of like parsley?
Yeah. So you completely parsley would be great. I like to chuck up a little bit of rosemary.
Oh, yeah.
And just like really finely and mix it in with some lemon, maybe some garlic. You chuck that on, like especially with that lemon there, it gives that little citrus zap to your nose. And no matter how unhealthy whatever else is going on underneath it, that you kind of, like, I think you could be lured into a sense of false security that you are eating healthy because you can taste or smell some citrus. And it smells bloody good. Lemon and rosemary is fantastic. That's why we love putting in chicken so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
But look, anything, any kind of herbs are in season. Just use your noggin. You'll be able to find some good ones. But yeah, parsley, definitely.
So your basics for your stew, you get your meat base, you chuck in a tin of tomatoes, half a bottle of wine, bit of herbs, root veg, over the top, bit of a garnish of some green herbs, and you're good to go.
Yeah, look, yeah, completely, man. And there's 100,000 recipes out there. But the thing is, like, you kind of find one, use that, and then just start to make it your own recipe over time, and whatever you like, and you get your own consistencies with how much wine, tomato, and meat. I mean, meat, you just need to buy some chuck steak, and depending, it might take 3 hours to cook. Sometimes it'll take 5 hours to cook. It just depends on how much muscle it's using that meat and how much it's got to break down.
Yeah, because it just needs a bit of time and love, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just let it do its own thing. You don't need to touch it. That stew is so easy. Just put the lid on, put it in the oven around 110, I want to say. Again, that depends on how much time you've got. The slower, the better. But yeah, you can just let that bad boy go.
And the best thing I find about stews like that is I was brought up in a very freezer pro household. So you can make a massive batch of stew like that, chuck it in your Chinese takeaway containers, freeze it, and you've got meals for months.
Yeah, completely. I often do that. Look, and stews especially, being a single man,
in Brisbane,
I don't have a lot of people to cook. A single man in Brisbane, I think I'll be staying single for a while up here anyway. shush.
I hope your Tinder dates aren't listening to 2SER in Brisbane.
I don't think that's happening. So I like to cook it on a Sunday. And then just leave it in the fridge for probably up to 3, maybe 4 days, depending on how much you want to run the gauntlet. But after about 1 or 2 days, it really starts to know its place in the world even better, and all those flavors start to mingle with each other, like a good curry as well, and tastes so much better. But by all means, freezing it, taking it for your lunch or having it for dinner, you know, a month or two down the track. I don't like taking frozen things for lunch, though. I'm just always scared it's going to blow open and I'm going to have stew all through my backpack.
These are the real problems. Now, if you've just joined us, I am on the phone with Callum Boyes, good friend of the show here at 2SER, food writer and editor of the Good Food Guide in Queensland. Now, Callum, one of the other great things, see, I think this is an all-year-round food, but lamb shoulder.
Yeah, lamb shoulders. Oh, gosh, completely all-year-round, especially in spring around Easter as well. But like, winter's good, and this is again another long, slow cooker. So I'd 8 hours, 12 is probably better. Just get a good bit of lamb shoulder, bones still in, that's important.
Yes.
And put it in a nice deep tray, splash a fair amount of chicken stock over the top, some veggies, some fennel, some carrots, some leek, whatever have you. And just put that in the oven, cover it in some foil, and that chicken stock will keep it nice and juicy. And when that thing comes out, it's just going to fall straight apart. And, yeah, invite your mates over and have a lamb shoulder party.
Oh, lamb shoulder party. That sounds like something else. But we're mad on fennel at the moment. Isn't everyone gone nuts for fennel?
Fennel, yeah. It's been rising in popularity for a while, but now we've started to... I've seen pickled fennel a lot these days. He's pickled everything these days. What's also good to put over lamb shoulder, actually, you mentioned fennel, is fennel pollen. Now, we're probably going a bit too much into Chefy Wank territory.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You can pick it up around town. I think I've seen it at... Herbie's used to have it, but Herbie's isn't there anymore. But you can make it yourself by putting a plastic bag around a fennel plant. We all got a fennel plant in our backyard, don't we? pretty sure Harris Market has as well. Or you get it from the Central Grove. Fennel pollen's great. It's got all that essence of fennel and a real nice aniseed taste. And sprinkle some of that over the top, similar to your lemon or rosemary in the stew. And again, that smell and that odor will just come up and hit you right in the nose, and oh, bloody hell, it's good.
What do you do? See, I've always got the issue because I love lamb and I love doing a shoulder of lamb, but when I've got leftover lamb, I feel like it just doesn't go so well. It kind of dries out in the fridge, I think.
Yeah. It kind of congeal a little bit too much because a lot of fat. Hey, this is when we make a pie.
Yes. Now, winter pie.
Winter pie, dude. And this is just go nuts. Like, don't follow any recipe. Just have fun. Experiment. All you can do is go down to the supermarket and buy some short crust pastry. You need a good pie dish. You can get one of those from Buddy Kmart for $10. Well, that's probably not a good pie dish, but it's a pie dish. and just all those leftover veggies from Sunday lunch, that leftover lamb, just shred them all up. Probably make a little bit of a gravy out of it as well in the pan, chuck them into the pie dish, put the lid over top, chuck in the oven, put an egg wash over it, and you've got an amazing pie.
Probably
get a bit of greens on the top now,
we've got these rather hearty meals. You've got lamb shoulder there, you've got beef stew. What are you going to drink? Yeah. It's cold in winter. What's your pick?
Old wine.
Oh,
or,
yes.
As they like to say in Norway, in Scandinavia, glug, I believe.
Oh, glug, yes, it sounds appetizing.
Glug? I'm not sure of the pronunciation there.
I think that's what comes out afterwards.
Glug. Delicious glug. Yeah, mulled wine, you and I, sir. Oh, gosh, it's good. Yeah, and again, this is one of those things. Well, actually, with mulled wine, you can be very, very precise. So traditionally in Scandinavia, you'll make the mulled wine about a week or two beforehand. And then you chuck in a lot of things like cinnamon, cloves, cardamom, vanilla bean. Orange is always good, lemon. I like to put chili in. That's not too traditional, though.
What?
But with just in the young, fresh red wine, and then put that in the cupboard for a little bit in a sealed, sterilized jar. And then in about a week later, then you can start to heat it up and drink it.
Okay, so you can't just bring it to the boil and let it cool and drink it.
No. Well, I mean, so that's the other thing. So that's one way to do it, and that's probably the traditional way. And you go, it's going to taste good. So if you really want to go full mole, then that's what you do. But the other way, and I'll have to do this as well, because I don't really have the time to plan, you know, those kind of things out. Just buy like a decent, you know, like not cask wine, please. You're still going to be drinking it. But again, you don't want to be whipping out a bottle of Grand Cru Burgundy either. So just a nice wine, a kind of like, you know, weekday wine you drink regardless. And then just bring that not to the boil. If you start to boil things, then your wine's going to start to evaporate and you're going to lose a lot of taste as well.
So it's a simmer.
So it's a simmer, like just a really slow, slow roll. And then you can just chuck things that you like I said, like cloves, cinnamon. One of my favorite things to do is to just get an orange and stud it with cloves.
like a voodoo doll?
Yeah, exactly like that. and you can pretend it's Barnaby Joyce's head. it is cathartic. If you haven't studded an orange with cloves before, children, get out there today and go down to your nearest shopkeep and ask, please, can I have a pack of cloves and orange?
Who needs an iPad when you've got a pack of cloves and an orange? Callum, boys, good luck in Origin tonight. Thank you for your time. We'll catch up soon, all right?
Thanks, mate. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Callum Boys there. He is he's the editor of Good Food in the Brisbane Times. We used to have him here in the 2SER studios, but he's moved up to sunnier shores.